So thank you so much. I got this chance from Bhaktivedanta Manor to speak something on Sri Radha Mahotsav. So I thought I will share some very nice notes with you. So I had made some notes on this particular topic, Panihati Sri Radha Mahotsav. So this village of Panihati is very, very famous and very, very glorious. Panihati is one of the four places where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resides eternally. So as you can see here, Mahaprabhu visited Panihati twice in 1514 AD on Krishna Dwadashi, day of Ashwin Mas, on his way to Jagannath Puri. Then again in 1515 AD, that was on Krishna Ekadashi of Falgun Mas. This time Mahaprabhu was moving from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri, and he was going through Bengal. So that's how he happened to be here. So we know this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is very easy to remember. Antalila, second chapter, text 34 and 35. So the easiest way to remember is 2, 3, 4, 5. So 2.345. 2.34 and 35. Shachir Mandire are Nityananda Nartane Srivasa Kirtane are Raghava Bhavane. Eichari Thai Avirbhavas Prabhu Sada Avirbhav. Pema Krishna Hoy Prabhu Sahaja Swabhav. So Mahaprabhu actually resides at these four places, and one of them is this place, Panihati. So we know that this place, it is stated in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antilila. Panihati Grame Jato Hoilo Prema Sukh. Chari Vede Varni Bhaka Shei Sab Kautuk. Which means the happiness of ecstatic love that manifests in the village of Panihati will be described in the four Vedas. So later on, Vyasdev will again come and he will give an exclusive commentary on Panihati. So that's how famous this particular festival of Panihati is. And originally, Nityananda Prabhu observed this festival at Hatugada. There's a place in Bengal. You must have heard about Ekachakra, the birthplace of Nityananda Prabhu. There is a small area there. It is known as Hatugada. Hatu means our knees. So he was actually genuflecting on his knees, sitting on his knees, and then he observed that festival, chipped rice and yogurt with his friends, with his associates. So this place, Panihati, we know, you can see in this picture, this is the birthplace of Raghav Pandit and Damayanti Devi. So this is the original place. And then there is so much to speak on this, because we happen to speak about Panihati practically every day. So I made these notes just for everyone who can see the screen and can really enjoy what happened here. So Raghav Pandit's grandfather, Ganga Prasad Chaturvedi, who was originally from Kannauj in Uttar Pradesh, it's a place near Vrindavan. So he was brought to this place, Panihati, and he happened to be the chief priest in the assembly of King Chitraketu. He was the king of Dev Ganga. So Dev Ganga is a place near Barasat, and he was the chief priest there. And this person, Ganga Prasad Chaturvedi, he was brought all the way from Uttar Pradesh to West Bengal just to establish a deity of Mother Kali. And when he established that deity on his way back to Panihati, he was coming on a boat with all his utensils and his material and paraphernalia. And then on his way back, two small and very sweet kids, a boy and a girl, they came and they said, "We want to accompany you to Panihati. Can you take us on this boat?" So he said, "Yes, why not, join us." And then when he reached Panihati, so he forgot about those boy and girl and he just went back to his place. And once he reached there, he went to bed. In the night, that boy and girl came into Ganga Prasad's dreams. And they said, "Hey Ganga Prasad, you left us there on the bank of Ganges. You didn't even care about us." And he suddenly woke up from the dream and he ran towards the bank of Ganges. And there, lo and behold, he saw the beautiful forms of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. So you can see this form on the photograph here on the desktop. So this is Radha Madan Mohan on the left. There is one more deity of Radha Krishna. They are known as Radha Raman Jiu. So this Radha Raman Jiu belongs to Raghunath Das Goswami. So this is on the right. and the one on left, it belongs to Raghav Pandit. So these GTs were originally established by Ganga Prasad Chaturvedi. So Chaturvedi is a North Indian title. He was from Kannauj. And then his father, his son, Ganga Prasad's son, Devi Prasad. So Lord Madan Mohan would personally come and play with him as Kanai. And then Madan Mohan would also play with his son, Devi Prasad's son, who is Raghav Pandit. And who is Raghav Pandit? Mahaprabhu says, Ihara Krishna Sevar Katha Shuna Sarvajan Parama Pavitra Seva Ati Sarvottam. So Mahaprabhu was so impressed with the service. He said, just hear about the pure devotional service rendered to Krishna by Raghav Pandit. Indeed, Raghav Pandit's service is supremely pure and highly accomplished. So Raghav Pandit is a very, very special devotee. In Krishna Leela, Raghav Pandit was Dhanishtha Gopi. So every day during the afternoon prayers, we sing Yashomati Agyape Dhanishtha Anito Shri Krishna Prasade Radha Bhunje Hoy Prito. So this particular verse comes in the Bhog Arati. So generally those who are used to singing Bhog Arati. So if you read that particular verse, the person Dhanishtha Gopi, she came as Raghav Pandit in Gaur Leela. And her assistant Gunamala Manjari, she came as Damayanti Devi. So Damayanti was the sister of Raghav Pandit. So both of them were celibates, Brahmachari and Brahmacharinis throughout their life. And we see in Raghav Pandit's pastimes, in Raghav Bhavan, there have been so many pastimes. Raghav Pandit was so fond of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He and his sister, both of them would make this famous Raghavera Jhali, the bags of Raghav Pandit. Chaitanya Chaitanya says, Raghav Pandita Prabhu Adya Anuchar Tarayaka Shakha Mukhya Makardha Jakar Baramasha Taha Prabhu Karan Angikar Raghavera Jhali Vali Prasiddhi Jahar. So these bags of Raghav Pandit, they are so famous. Raghav Pandit and his associates, they would carry these items right from Panihati to Jagannath Puri. And it would take them almost 1 month because there were no modern transport facilities back then. And when they would go there, Mahaprabhu, we know even in ISKCON, when sannyasis come to a temple, thousands of preparation come for them. At least this is the tradition in Bengal. So thousands of preparation come for them and they can't eat so much. And the same thing happened with Mahaprabhu. Everyone was bringing this and that for Mahaprabhu, said, Mahaprabhu, you please eat this, please take this. And Mahaprabhu would give it to his servant Govinda. And Govinda would keep it aside and Mahaprabhu would never even taste it. But for Raghav Pandit's preparations. So Raghav Pandit's preparations were made with such a love, such pure love, that Mahaprabhu would taste not just those preparations, but also the pots for one full year. And these preparations would stay fresh without any refrigeration for one full year. Then we know that in Raghav Bhavan, there are so many pastimes. We know about Nityananda Prabhu's pastime. That one time during the rainy season, Nityananda Prabhu actually demanded that Raghav Pandit go and get a kadam flower garland for me. Now, kadamba flowers, they are not available during that time. And Raghav Pandit was astonished. He said, Nityananda Prabhu, this is not the time for kadamba flowers. Nityananda Prabhu said, just go and have a look. So Raghav Pandit went into his garden and he saw on a lemon tree, there were so many kadamba flowers growing. So what is impossible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And then Nityananda Prabhu, since he had demanded, so Raghav Pandit actually made a full garland of kadamba flowers and garlanded Nityananda Prabhu. And then everyone could simultaneously get the smell of damanak flowers. So if you have, most of you have, must have been to Mayapur. So in Mayapur, Mahaprabhu, the Panchatattva big deities, these damanak flower garlands are put on them. So they are yellowish kind of flowers and it's a very, very beautiful looking flower. So everyone was wondering, where is this smell coming from? So Nityananda Prabhu said that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is here as well. So wherever Nityananda Prabhu, Adi Guru, spiritual master is glorified, Krishna himself comes there. And then there is Raghav Pandit's Samadhi. So Raghav Pandit's Samadhi is in the same campus. In fact, I'll show you the picture here. So this is Madhavi Lata. So it's a 500-year-old. There are two Madhavi wines. They are interlocked. Legend says it is Radha Krishna. We could not find any scriptural reference for this, but we believe because it is there in Raghav Bhavan. So this Samadhi of Raghav Pandit is there, and it's a very, very special place. So whenever you come to Panihati on your way to Mayapur, please visit us so we can show you around. So this place, Raghav Bhavan, this is the birthplace of Raghav Pandit and Damayanti Devi and their worshipable lords, Shishi Gaur Nitai. They are there. There are three sets of Radha Krishna deities, one set of Radha Krishna deity and one set of Gaur Nitai deities. They came from Bangladesh. They said that the devotees asked them, why do you want to go to Raghav Bhavan? Why do you want to go to Panihati? So the deities mentioned that we get very nice bhoga offerings there. So we want to go there and we want to really enjoy that bhoga. So Raghav Pandit was very famous for rendering deity worship, especially for making bhoga. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 15th chapter, there are 8 lessons on how to render deity worship. So I'll go from bottom to top. So the first lesson or the 8th lesson here is taste. Kara Sarvottam. First class and delicious. So whenever we cook for the deities, one very important thing is, the first and foremost thing is, the food should be tasty. For those of you who have been to hostels, to hostel life, whether in India or in UK. I mean, hostel food is really a mess. Therefore, they call it mess because it's a mess. And when we take that food, it is so tasteless. You have to either add salt or you have to add sugar and somehow just gulp it in. No, when we cook for the deities, make sure that the prasadam is first class. It should be very, very tasty. So this is the standard. Then the second lesson or the 7th lesson here from bottom. Purity, parama pavitra. So the cooking conditions should be very pure. So whenever we cook for the deities, we should make it a point to take proper baths and then enter the kitchen. We should cleanse everything thoroughly and nicely. Not that the flour from the previous night is just lying here and there everywhere and we start cooking. No. Purity is very important. Raghav Pandit was so, he observed purity to such a degree at once, it mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita that he bought coconuts from far off place and he paid 16 times the original price. And when he bought it, he gave it to the pujari to offer it to the deities. And pujari was standing with his hand like this on top of the door. I have an almirah here on top of the door like this. And Raghav Pandit said, you see people walk and the dust from their feet goes and sits here and you're touching it. And with this, you're offering the bhoga to the deity. So he became very angry. He picked up all those 16 times costly coconuts and threw them outside the boundary wall. So Prabhupada, he writes in the purport that Raghav Pandit was not a clinomaniac. Now with the passing of coronavirus, we see everyone in the world is, people are maniacs. I went to a house program some months ago and when I entered, so in most places when you go, they have these sanitizers and you have to sanitize your hands. And there they made us pick up our feet, legs and actually sanitized our soul also. So I thought maybe there is some soul sanitizer also for cleansing my soul. So I could have really felt more clean. So purity is a very important aspect of deity worship. So whenever we cook for the deities, make sure that the preparations are supremely pure. Then the third lesson here, 6th from the list, is variety. Whenever we cook for Krishna, we should cook varieties. See, Krishna is rasovaisa. He is the reservoir of all kinds of pleasure. Srila Prabhupada would quote this English maxim, variety is the mother of enjoyment. For example, I am giving this class and if I continue to speak in one single frequency without any frequency modulation, within 5 minutes, all of you will go to rest and everyone of you will sleep right here, right now. And then you can't really understand what I'm going. And then you'll become distracted. Why? Because there is no frequency modulation. So whenever there is frequency modulation, then we like the sound. It is very, very pleasing to hear such a sound. So similarly, whenever we cook for Krishna, it is not that anywhere and everywhere we just offer the regional dish. No, ISKCON is an international society. So in our Bhakti Viksha programs, outreach programs, we have devotees from Canada, we have devotees from UK, we have devotees from Bengal, we have devotees from South India, we have devotees from Malaysia. advertisement China, we advertisement Russia. So we should cook preparations which are eatable and acceptable to everyone. So therefore, variety is very important. Then the fourth or fifth lesson from here is cost. Bahumulya diya ani. High cost, no constraint. So in India, we see this tendency. I mean, it's a common thing here, especially in Hindus. So whenever people, they want to observe certain ritual, certain worship, so they call for a priest, and the priest or the Panditji, he comes and sits and he starts doing his puja. And then the Yajman, and then he asks the person who employed him, the Yajman, that please, sir, I need the cloth to offer it to Vishnu. And the Yajman says, oh, I forgot to get the cloth. So the priest says, okay, no problem. So he pulls a thread out from his uttariya, from his chadar, and offers it to Vishnu. Idam vastram Govindaya namah. So whenever it comes to one's own self, one wants raiments. It's a famous brand in India. Complete man. When you want to offer it to Krishna, get the cheapest one. Arre kuch bhi le lo yaar. Just offer the cheapest thing. Get away with it. No. We should get the best quality items. The costliest of items. Then for preparing bhoga, the fourth lesson, efforts. Now we see tomorrow is Snan Yatra. So other times when there is no coronavirus, then the situation is much better. And everyone gets tired due to these Rath Yatras and big Rath Yatras in big time and bigger than better than before and bigger than before and greater world record. So everyone is tired and at the end of the day, it's like, oh, Prabhu, it's too much. I can't get up for the Mangalarti. But then the next day we see those who want to make money, they will stay whole night. And still they will manage to get to their workplaces just to make some more pawns, shillings and pawns. So we are so interested in making money, but when it comes to serving Krishna, we don't want to put in any efforts. But we see even in our scriptures, Mother Yashoda, she was made to run all over the place just so that she could catch Krishna. So what does Krishna see? Krishna sees the amount of efforts a devotee is ready to put in for his satisfaction. So whenever we cook for the deities, it's an effort. It's difficult. So we have to put in those efforts. Then the third lesson, quality. Jaha jaha duragrame suniya che bhalo. So Raghav Pandit would get the best items from durgram, from far off places. Once I was in South Africa, in Durban, I was giving the Bhagavatam class. And they told me, this is Durban. So I said, what is that? They said, this is Durban. Dur means distance, distant, and Ban means forest. So this is like another version of Vrindavan. Durban. So even Raghav Pandit, he would get items from far off places just to please Mahaprabhu, just to please Krishna. First class quality. So when the mother knows that the son loves, say chapatis, because I'm an Indian, I'll give you Indian examples. Chapatis, which are a little bit pinkish. So the mother will make sure that when the chapati is a little bit pinkish, she'll pick it up and she'll serve it. Not that she will keep it until it becomes baked and roasted and black and all carbon. No. Why? Because she wants to give first class quality service. Another lesson that we get from Raghav Pandit's life is attention. In Hindi, we have this saying of those of you who know Hindi. Savdhani hati durghatna ghati. So whenever we are inattentive in chanting, we lose taste. Whenever we are inattentive in dealing with Vaishnavas, it leads to offenses. Whenever we are inattentive in serving the deities, it leads to offenses. So one must be very, very attentive. Why? Because we are serving Krishna. Attention to detail is a sign of love. Therefore, dear friends, dear devotees, please, please be very attentive when you serve. And then the last or the foremost lesson, unalloyed love. We do everything, but at the end of the day, there is no love in the heart. We just do it like it's a government duty. In India, we're used to calling it like this, sarkari duty. So government duty, no one takes it seriously, at least here. So whenever we render service should be rendered with unalloyed love. There should be love, there should be feeling, there should be gratitude in the heart that Krishna is giving us this chance to serve Him. So this is a very, very good synopsis of Raghava Pandit's life, 8 lessons on how to render deity worship. And then Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami gives the conclusion. What is the conclusion? That offer the best of everything. Super excellent items. Sarva Dravya Sar. Incomparable service. Seva Anupam. Anupam means there is no upama, there is no equivalent, there is no parallel. And satisfying experience. Judaya Nayan. So this is the mood with which one should render deity worship. Then other things which I wanted to point out here is about Raghunath Das Goswami. As I told you, he was blessed before and after the festival, after the Chidadehi festival. And this place, you can see this picture. This is the famous Danda Mahotsav Tala. So Jayadev writes in Chaitanya Mangal Kavya, he says, Panihati Samagrama Nahi Ganga Tire, Bado Bado Samajar Pataka Mandire. So this place, Panihati, has been famous through centuries together for temples. Patakas means big, big flags that are hoisted on the top of temples. So this is the place, Danda Mahotsav Tala, you can see this. This is the tree underneath which Nityananda Prabhu was sitting 500 years ago. So this festival took place first time in the year 1516. So today is the 505th anniversary of this festival. So you can see Nityananda Prabhu, he places his feet on Raghunath Das Goswami's head. I'll tell you the Leela. And I will even read out the verses in Bengali. Because generally in Chaitanya Charitamrita, most devotees, they just read the translation since I'm in Bengal. And this is the place, this is the hot seat of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And Nityananda Prabhu actually started preaching from this place. Why is Panihati so important? Srila Prabhupada wanted to make the world headquarters here. But then he got the land in Mayapur and he changed his plans. So the first time Srila Prabhupada came here and he saw this place, he said we should have a temple here. Why? Because Prabhupada said, he says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, every year when devotees from Bengal, they would go all the way to Jagannath Puri and Nityananda Prabhu would accompany them. And then once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nityananda, why do you come every year? So Nityananda Prabhu said, oh Mahaprabhu, I come to see Jagannath. Because had he said, I come to see you, he would have been rebuked, scolded by Mahaprabhu. So he said, I come to see Lord Jagannath every year. And then Prabhupada, he writes in the purport, he says, that seeing Jagannath is sense gratification. Oh, wow, that's a new concept. Seeing Jagannath, seeing the deities is sense gratification. Why? Because it's a relative statement. When we have got opportunity to serve, to preach, and then not preaching and just seeing the deities is sense gratification. So what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to follow our spiritual authorities. So Nityananda Prabhu immediately, he went back to Bengal. And Mahaprabhu told him, you go and you deliver the people of Bengal. Nityananda Prabhu, for the first time in Bengal, he came to Panihati. He made this place his base for 3 months. Just on my right hand side, 10 meters from here is the place, is the ghat used by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Raghunath Das Goswami themselves. And 50 meters from here is, on my right, is that place where the famous Chidadehi Danda Mahotsav took place. So in this picture, you can see this picture here. Our ISKCON campus is situated on the right. On the right. Towards the direction of the cursor. And for me also, it's towards my right. This is the only office in the world to have Ganges on both sides. On my left is Ganga and on my back is Ganga. The only ISKCON temple to be on the bank of Ganga. And we know this Leela. Nityananda Prabhu places his lotus feet on Raghunath Das Goswami's head. Before the festival. After the festival. So it was twice. And this is the famous picture, Chidadehi Mahotsav. So every year we observe this festival. All other festivals in ISKCON, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Janmashtami is not known as Vrindavan Janmashtami. Gaur Purnima is not known as Mayapur Gaur Purnima. But Danda Mahotsav, Chidadehi Mahotsav is known as Panihati festival throughout the world. So this is a very, very special place, very, very important place. So about ISKCON Panihati. We have these deities, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai here. You can have the darshans. They are standing in their beautiful form. And we have two Shiva temples. One is Tarkeshwar. Here you see Gangadhar. And on the right is Tarkeshwar. And we have a 100-year-old deity of Mother Jagadhatri also. So this is the place where all of it started. And this is a book we actually came up with, our devotees here, The Glorious History of Panihati. So whenever you come here, you can collect this book, read from this book, and understand all the leelas that took place here. And this is a very, very famous verse. Atyanta prasiddhai Panihati gram Raghav bhavane viraje Gaur bhagavan Raghunath das Goswami Uddhare ratare Danda mohotsava lila Nityananda kore. So what is the translation? The village of Panihati is spiritually glorious. In this village is present the house of Raghav Pandit, an exalted devotee of the Lord. It is in this place that the merciful Lord Nityananda performed Danda Mahotsav, which is popularly known as Chidadahi Mahotsav, the festival of chief rice and yogurt to deliver Raghunath Das Goswami. And my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Chara Swami Maharaj, he actually composed this verse just for this book. So he released this book 2 years ago. So this book is available whenever you come to Mayapur. Please visit us at Panihati. And we are here to serve you. We are on the way to Mayapur, 45 minutes from the airport. On your way to Mayapur, on your way back to Kolkata airport, you can come, take prasad, take Ganga bath. Because we boast to be the only ISKCON temple, only ISKCON property on the bank of Ganga. So Ganga, it flows in two directions. So this side is Mayapur on the right, and this side is Kolkata. And Ganga flows both ways because there is high tide and low tide. So this is a special feature here. And Srila Prabhupada came here twice. And Srila Prabhupada very much wanted that we establish ISKCON temple here. So in 2013, we started this project. And now the congregation is growing. The place is becoming more and more popular with the coming of ISKCON. And this famous Chidadahi Mahotsav, I know all of you know the Leela, but still I will read out those Bengali verses. Because you see, Bengali verses, this Chaitanya Charitamrita is the original Bengali sweet. So if you want to actually enjoy Bangla Mishti, so this Mishti, this Bengali, these verses, they are so sweet. Even if you don't understand it, I'll read out the translations for you. So you can actually make a sense of what is happening. So Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ante Leela, 6th chapter. It starts from verse 42. Tabe Raghunath kichu vicharila mane Nityananda Gosain paas chalila aradine. Then Raghunath Das considered something in his mind, and the next day he went to Nityananda Gosain. Panihati grame paila prabhur darshan kirtaniya sevak sange ar bahujan. In the village of Panihati, Raghunath Das obtained an interview with Nityananda Prabhu, who was accompanied by many kirtan performers, servants, and others. Ganga tire vrikha mule pindar upare basiya chena jano koti surjodaya kare. Sitting on a rock under a tree on the bank of the Ganges, Lord Nityananda seemed as effulgent as hundreds of thousands of rising suns. Tale upare bahu bhakta hoya che vestita dekhi prabhur prabhav Raghunath vismita. So Raghunath Das Goswami got up from this very bank, this very ghat, this place on my right, used by Nityananda Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das. This is a very, very historic place. It is not just dham, because Mahaprabhu stays here eternally, but these famous, these great personalities actually came here. So many devotees sat on the ground surrounding him, Nityananda Prabhu. Seeing the influence of Nityananda, Raghunath Das was astonished. Dandavat hoya shei podila koto dure sevak he Raghunath dandavat kore. Raghunath Das offered his obeisances by falling prostrate at a distant place. So the first time we started this project and Guru Maharaj was here, so he said that since ISKCON has procured this place. So definitely Raghunath Das Goswami had offered his obeisances right from this place. And Raghunath was offering obeisances from here, and Nityananda was sitting there about 50 meters from this place. So quite a distance. And a servant of Nityananda Prabhu pointed out, there is Raghunath Das offering you obeisances. Shuni Prabhu kahe chora dili darshan, aya aya ji tora karimu dandan. Hearing this, Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, you are a thief. Now you have come to see me. Come here, come here. Today I shall punish you. So why did Nityananda Prabhu, he addressed Raghunath Das as a thief? Because our philosophy is, whenever we want to approach Krishna, we should approach Krishna through the agency of the spiritual master. So whenever we approach Krishna, whenever we approach Mahaprabhu, who is Mahaprabhu? Mahaprabhu is the property of Nityananda Prabhu. Who is Nityananda? Nityananda is the original spiritual master, the Adi Guru himself. So if at all we want to bypass, overpass, underpass devotees, underpass the spiritual master and go to Supreme Lord, he will not accept us. And this is what exactly happened with Raghunath Das Goswami. So, dear devotees, the lesson is that if we want to approach Krishna, if we want to practice bhakti properly, then what should we do? We should always approach Krishna through the agency of his devotees, especially the spiritual master. There are devotees who claim, oh, we don't need a guru, we don't need anyone, it's just me and Krishna. No, that is not bhakti. This important lesson was taught by Nityananda Prabhu himself in Panihati. Prabhu bolaye teho nikate nakar gama nakar shiya tar mathe prabhu dharila charan. The Lord called him, but Raghunath Das did not go near the Lord. Then the Lord forcibly caught him and placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head. Kautuki Nityananda Sahaj Dayamay. So you see this photograph. Nityananda Prabhu is placing his lotus feet. Kautuki Nityananda Sahaj Dayamay. Raghunath kahe kichu hoiya sadai. Lord Nityananda was by nature very merciful and funny. Being merciful, he spoke to Raghunath Das as follows. Now, Nityananda Prabhu is speaking himself. Nikatena aisho chora bhage dure dure. Aji lag paya chi dandi mu tomare. I will punish you today. You thief, you just keep running here and there. So I will punish you. What is the punishment? Dadhi chida bhakkhana karah mora gane. Suni anandito hoilo Raghunath mane. Make a festival and feed all my associates yogurt and chipped rice. Hearing this, Raghunath Das was greatly pleased. So, even punishment can become a festival. So, in our Vaishnava philosophy, even punishment is a festival. Therefore, this festival is known as Danda Mahotsav. So, it's a very, very important thing. Sheikhane nija loka pathayelo grame, bhakha dravya lok sab gram hoite ane. Raghunath Das immediately sent his own men to village to procure all things, eatables, and bring him back. So if you go to Mayapur and you don't do Nam Sankirtan, Mahaprabhu will not be satisfied. If you go to Jagannath Puri and don't take Mahaprasad, Jagannath will not be satisfied. If you come to Panihati and you don't serve Vaishnavas, Nityananda Prabhu will never be satisfied. So please, please make it a point to do Vaishnav Seva. Especially on this day, Panihati festival, this is meant for Vaishnav Seva. Therefore, we came up with this logo, Vaishnav Seva Dham. So this place, we have called it Vaishnav Seva Dham. This place is famous for serving Vaishnavas. Now comes the recipe. Chida dadhi dugdha sandesh arachini kola sabadravyanaya chaudike dharila. So everything was bought. Yogurt, chipped rice, milk, sweetmeat, sugar, banana, this, that. So many items were there. Mahotsava nama suni brahmana sajjan asite lagila loka asankhya ganan. So everyone heard the festival is there. And no matter how many security arrangements we do, no matter how many coupons we distribute, everything fails. We have been seeing this phenomena right from 2013. We started the festival here officially from our temple in 2014. First day, we did not have any preparations. We were not prepared. We saw people were coming. So we went to the market in the morning, got 50 kgs of bananas, 50 kgs of mangoes, and mixed everything together and distributed it. Without any preparation, we could feed 4,000 devotees. Next year, 2015, we did some meeting, we got some collection, and then we distributed prasadam to about 10,000 devotees. Next year, 2016, which happened to be the 500th anniversary of this festival. So, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the desire of Mahaprabhu, ISKCON Panihati distributed prasadam to a whooping 17,000 devotees in our campus. And ours is a very, very small campus. You see, we don't have a big place here. It's a very, very small place. Again, in 2017, we wanted to break the previous records. So we started making videos. And by showing videos and graphics and this and that, we could distribute prasadam to more than 22,000 devotees. Then again in 2018, we crossed the figure of 30,000 devotees. And in 2019, in this festival, ISKCON Panihati distributed prasadam to more than 50,000 devotees. For the past 2 years, due to this pandemic, we are facing problems because all the area is closed down, so we can't do the festival on a grand scale as we do every year. So we are doing it online, huh? As the tradition goes. So that is the scale to which this festival has grown. Now see what Raghunath does. It's very, very interesting. Just hear it. Aragramantara hoite samagriyanilo shata dui chari holna tahai anailo. Seeing the crowd increasing, Raghunath ordered for more eatables and hundreds of earthen pots were bought. Bado bado mritakundika anailo paanch saate ekavipra prabhu lagi chida bhi jaiya tate. So these were bought and then one Brahman started to mix the chipped rice. And how did he mix it? Ekathai tapta dugde chida bhi jaiya ardhe ka chanila dadhi chini ko ladiya. In one place, chipped rice was soaked in hot milk. So whenever we make chipped rice, pohe, we soak it in water. But Raghunath Das Goswami was not a beggar like us. So he soaked the whole chipped rice in hot milk. So just imagine the quantity of milk he must have bought. And then half of it he mixed with yogurt and the other half of it he mixed with condensed milk. So one was chida dahi, chipped rice and yogurt, and other was chipped rice and condensed milk, chida rabdi. Ar arje ghana vrita dugde te chanilo chapa ko lachini ghrita karpurta te dilo. This is the original recipe. So I will show you the recipe here. So there are so many recipes on internet. You will find thousands of recipes. But this is the traditional, original and the easiest. It's very easy to make and it's very easy to distribute also. So when there is a scale of 50,000 people coming to your campus and you have to distribute chida dahi, so you can't afford all those tough recipes. So this is the recipe. You can see it here on my screen. It's there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then Nityanand Prabhu actually sat down on the place on a stone and then Nityanand Prabhu petitioned Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu came. And when Mahaprabhu came, Nityananda Prabhu, he went to every individual person's plate. He picked a morsel of bhoga from there and offered it to Mahaprabhu. But nobody could see Mahaprabhu. So everyone was seeing, what is Nityananda Prabhu doing? He's going there, picking a morsel and it's vanishing in the air. What is that? And Mahaprabhu was also picking up some food and feeding to Nityananda Prabhu. So everyone was seeing Nityananda Prabhu is eating, but his hand is going in the air. And he's also eating. So there was a lot of fun going on. So whenever we offer bhoga to Krishna, does he eat? Yes. When the offering is made with love and devotion, Krishna eats it. So very, very important lesson here that we should offer our food to Krishna first and then we should partake his Mahaprasada. So then Nityananda Prabhu, he blew the whistle, blew the trumpet and then everyone started to say Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. There is continuous Hari Bol. There is a group here which comes and they do Hari Bol all night. Although it's an apasampradaya. But so many, all the 13, 14, 15, hundreds of apasampradayas now in Kali Yuga. All of them come here. And there is 24 hours kirtan. And lot of fun. And when the prasad was being distributed, the whole place was filled up. There was no place to stand even. And then people actually entered the Ganga. They entered till their knees, the place was filled up. They entered till their waist filled up. They entered into the water till their neck. They were having a hardy, a pot like this and everything like this. Literally, believe me, this happens every single year. We have seen this feature all over these years. So very, very famous place and very, very famous festival. And we are on the bank of Ganges. So please, whenever you visit Mayapur, make it a point to come and see us here at Panihati. We have facilities for prasadam. We don't have a big guest house, but our hearts are very big. So whenever you come, we'll try to serve you to the best of our capabilities. And the famous movie Hare Krishna, shot by His Grace Yaduvar Prabhu and Vishakha Mataji, it was shot here at Panihati. And we have scenes from Panihati, actually, from this temple. So if you can recognize the place, the shot in Ganga where Prabhupada goes with his father Gaur Mohan De. So that has been shot here. And the scene from Sankirtan and the scene from Prabhupada typing on the typewriter, his first version of Srimad Bhagavatam, all of these scenes have been shot here in this very campus. So thank you so much. And please, whenever you come to Mayapur, whenever the lockdown opens up, please come here, allow us, give us a chance to serve you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for that very wonderful class and taking us through Panihati. Thank you so much, Prabhu. There's no question right now that we have, but as I was listening to it, I just thought certain things that I want to raise just for my own reminder, maybe for the reminder of the devotees. And please, dear devotees, if you have any question, if you have any realization, something that you want to share, then please do comment it and then we can read it out. It'd be really wonderful also to hear from you. But yeah, so as I was listening to that, one thing that that kind of stood out for me was the 8 lessons on how to render deity worship from Madhav Pandit. Really enjoyed that. Sometimes I can personally speak for myself that, we find it careless when we're kind of engaged in service, when we're doing service. It's very easy to get into the mechanical process, but it's a good reminder given us about the importance of when we're rendering devotion, when we're rendering devotional service, when we're rendering deity worship, how important it is to do it with taste, making sure that the taste is the first quality, making sure that there's purity, and not just external purity, I'm assuming, also internal purity. And not just that, also variety, cost, effort, quality, giving it our best attention. And ultimately, yes, doing it with love, doing it with bhakti and devotion. So I really took a lot of note from that, and something I'm hoping to apply into my own devotional life, into my devotional service. Thank you so much for that. And also, one thing that personally you said, Jay, which kind of blew my mind, is that, you know, when the Govindam prayer actually happens, or when the curtain opens, we love seeing deities, we love seeing them in their dresses, singing. But you were mentioning how, if there's an opportunity to preach, if there's an opportunity to give Krishna to others, if there's an opportunity to reach out to others, and we don't, and we're just focused on, just seeing the deities, how that can be a sense gratification. That really blew me from my chair. So really, thank you so much. That's also a very wonderful reminder for all of us. And how actually, if we don't serve Vaishnava, if we don't do Vaishnava Seva in Panihati, and then we won't get the mercy of the devotees. So these were just some points that came to me that I really want to personally take it and imbibe also in my life. I just have a question from my side, actually, and it's not really a philosophical question, but nevertheless a question that, what is it that you feel we're lacking in? What is it that you feel that deprives us from increasing our intensity in devotional service, increasing our effort? What is it that you feel like we're lacking? What is it that we can do more to increase our effort in devotional life?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Actually, when it comes to increasing our efforts, you see, why do we lack efforts? So basically, it is due to not knowing the importance of what we are trying to achieve. So once we know the importance of what we are trying to achieve, then there is no lethargy in putting in efforts. So when we are lethargic, that means the mode of ignorance has come into play. So basically, for bhakti, mode of fashion is not good, because mode of fashion is efforts put in one time. So one time we go, we hit the wall and there is a big hole in it and we cross. But mode of goodness is putting in that one small hammer of effort to break the wall. And that one small hammer, hammering it, it makes a very, very small crack. And over a period of time, the crack propagates. And even the wall, which seems impossible to be broken down, it comes down. So, mode of goodness. So, when we cultivate mode of goodness, so then it is not difficult to put in or practice sustainable efforts. That's my understanding.
No, thank you so much. So understanding why we're doing what we're doing, why we're performing devotional service and for whom we're performing devotional service. Like I see it as a relationship that we have with Krishna. And the more effort we put into with Krishna, the more actually you just guiding us through this Panihati pastime and through the different acharyas, I just somewhat felt connected to our acharyas, to the devotees of the past. And that increases our intensity to put in more effort to serve. So wonderful. Thank you. Another one last question, unless if anyone else has a question, is that also in devotional life, in devotional service, how can we increase our attention? You were mentioning about the importance of there being an attention. So how can we increase that? How can we improve our attention?
Well, in my understanding, in order to increase our attention or to be more attentive to what we do, we must not forget our current position. So you see, in whenever we render DT services, so there is one offense. Any offense in DT worship. Why does it happen? The reason behind it is because we forget Sambandha Gyan. We forget our original position. So if we read Bhagavad Gita on a regular basis, by reading Bhagavad Gita, we establish our Sambandha Gyan. And when we re-establish our Sambandha Gyan, then we are attentive automatically. So therefore, reading Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita, oftentimes we are so reluctant to read it. It's a basic book. We know the philosophy. But no, we should not just give it up, because by reading Bhagavad Gita, the offenses to the deities are nullified. Why? Because we are re-established in our Sambandha Gyan. Therefore, when we read Bhagavad Gita, when we go across the teachings of Lord Sri Krishna again and again, then we are reminded of our position in relation with Krishna. So then naturally we will become attentive whenever we perform devotional service.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. We have one question that will be coming soon from the temple room, from the devotees. Here it is, actually. Is there a special prayer we can make today to get Lord Nityananda's mercy?
Special prayer. Well, the place of Panihati, this place is glorious. The main reason for that is because Nityananda Prabhu shared the glories of serving Vaishnavas with everyone. So if you can pray to Nityananda Prabhu that Nityananda Prabhu, please teach me how to serve the Vaishnavas. Please make me understand the position of Vaishnavas in my life. It is due to the mercy of some devotee that I am here today. It is because some devotee out there is praying for me for all these years. And that's the reason why I am sustaining here. So please, Nityananda Prabhu, give me an opportunity to serve Vaishnavas. That's the kind of prayer I would like to offer to Nityananda.
Another question from Bhakta Ian Prabhu. What can I, other than also praying, making sincere prayers, what can be our meditation throughout the day today as we're serving Vaishnavas, as we're engaged in different activities?
Well, the mood is as we see in the life of Raghunath Das Goswami. Although he was from a very affluent family across the Ganges, son of a very, very wealthy landlord, 2 million gold coins, that was their yearly income. Nowadays, if we have one gold coin, we keep it in the bank safe. So what to speak of 2 million gold coins? And in spite of being so rich, still Raghunath Das Goswami was behaving so humbly in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. So no matter how qualified we are materially, in front of devotees, we should just forget all those material qualifications. Forget that we are coming from such and such big institute, we are passouts of this university, and I did my MBA from there and there, and I was working for an MNC and I was earning so many dollars every month. Just forget all that. Because this background, many times whenever, even when we come to bhakti, it's like, you don't know what I was earlier. Don't make me remember all those, my previous pastimes. You have not seen me before. So in a sense, I mean, this happens with me. In a sense, I'm very proud of my previous position. I should be ashamed of that position. But in place of it, I'm proud of it. So why? Because the reason is I remember all my material achievements, and that is stopping me from becoming a proper, a sincere devotee. So we should forget all those material qualifications. They are not qualifications at all. So we should just drop them. Huh? Even Kunti Maharani says so. Dhan Aishwarya Shruta Shribir Eda Mana Madha Puman. Nevar Hatya Vidhatum Vait Vam Akinchana Gocharam. So when we give these four things up, then we can actually get the mercy of Krishna. So no matter how rich, how affluent, how qualified, how beautiful, how influential we might have been in the past, in relation to devotees, we are nothing. So we should give it up.
You were mentioning also how punishment can actually be a festival. So another question from Bhakta Iyam Prabhu is, how can we embrace punishment like Raghunath Das Goswami?
Well, whenever we are punished by devotees, whatever devotees give us, it is for our spiritual advancement. So even if we are punished, this is a sign of love. Because whom do we punish? There are so many people who are walking across the street and drinking ganja, smoking pot, doing whatnot. But do we go and do we really talk to them? Do we go and do we really want to punish them? Why? Because there is no relationship. So we can't just punish any Tom, Dick and Harry going across the street. So if at all someone punishes us, it means they love us. So whenever we get reprimanded, whenever we get punished by devotees, we should take it as a sign of love that they care for me. If you want someone to leave the temple, I mean, I have seen it practically. If you want to kick out someone from temple, if you want someone to leave the temple, just stop speaking. Just forget him. Just stop taking care. Whenever he does something nonsense, just overlook. And you will see over a period of time, he will just leave. Why? Because there is no one to chastise. There is no one to reprimand. There is no one to punish. So if someone is punishing, that's a sign of love. Definitely. That means they care.
It just really shows how dynamic Krishna consciousness is, right? That, as you've mentioned, if someone chastises you or punishes you, there's a deep root of love there. There's a deep root of care there. And simply it's about asking ourselves the question of why they telling me this, or why they acting in the way that they are. There must be something deeper than just them hating me. We jump to assumptions and conclusions a lot often, actually. Thank you so much, Radhakar Prabhu. That was a very wonderful class, taking us through the pastimes. And thank you, all the devotees, for your wonderful questions also.